This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi israh li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Firstly, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts from us all of our fasts and all of our prayers and all of our qira'atul Qur'an in the blessed month of Ramadan, which has passed us by, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to be able to continue those deeds after this blessed month, and also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability and gives us life so that we're able to witness another blessed month of Ramadan next year. So, inshallah, we're going to be continuing with the tafsir class which we stopped or paused before the month of Ramadan began. And before the month of Ramadan began, we basically concluded and finished the tafsir of Surah Al-Fajr. And inshallah, we're going to be continuing with the next surah in our series, which is the tafsir of Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And Surah Al-Ghashiyah is a surah which is a Makki surah, so it was revealed before the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the city of Medina, and it consists of 26 ayahs altogether, and it's also known as surah Hal Ataka Hadithul Ghashiyah, because sometimes surahs are named by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, such as Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, and other surahs. And sometimes surahs were mentioned by the first ayah of that surah. So in some ahadith, for example, the Messenger of Allah would actually mention this surah by the first ayah, or the companions would mention, and we'll talk about this as well. The companions would mention this surah, not by saying Surah A'la, but by saying Sabbih Isma Rabbikal A'la. So it depends on how this surah was named, either by the Messenger of Allah himself or those companions who came after, and how they basically gave those surahs their specific names. So this surah has 26 ayahs, and it's known as Surah Ghashiyah, or Hal Ataka Hadithul Ghashiyah. And with regards to what this surah covers and what this surah talks about and the themes revolving around this surah, it talks about the state of individuals, first of all, on the Day of Judgment. Hal ataka hadithul ghashiyah. Has the news not come to you of al-ghashiyah? And al-ghashiyah is one of the names of the Day of Judgment. Wujuhun yawma idhin khashiyah. On that day, faces will have different expressions. People will feel different, and they'll have different feelings, and they'll be in different states based on their iman and based on their beliefs and their actions in this world. So initially this surah, it talks about the state of people, the state of Muslims on the Day of Judgment, and also the state of disbelievers on the Day of Judgment. And also this surah, it talks about the resting place, the final resting place of these two parties and these two groups. So it goes into detail about the hellfire, descriptions of the hellfire, the punishments of the hellfire. Also, it goes into detail about the descriptions of paradise itself and how the believers will be in eternal gardens and how they'll be enjoying the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, this surah, after these initial themes, it talks about the signs that we see around us. The signs of Allah, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do they not look at how the camel was created, at the camel, how it was created? وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ You know, Allah mentions the different descriptions of the different creations of Allah, the great amazing creations. You know, the camel and the skies and the heavens and the earth and so on and so forth. So Allah talks about the different signs and the different creations of Allah Azza wa Jal in this surah as well. Also, Allah Azza wa Jal talks about, he talks about these things, the creation of the heavens and the earth and the camel and so on and so forth, because after mentioning the Day of Judgment, after mentioning Paradise and Hellfire, after mentioning believers and disbelievers, and then he talks about the creation of the heavens and the earth, he's signifying and alluding to the fact that there's only one creator, and that if anyone was to worship anybody, it should be the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the creator of everything which exists, from paradise and hellfire, from human beings, from the camel and from the heavens and the earth, and so on and so forth, and the mountains and so on and so forth. So this is why Allah mentions the description and the things which He has created in this surah. So it reminds us of who we should be worshipping, how we can prevent ourselves and save ourselves from entering hellfire and from enjoying the blessings and the gifts of Allah in paradise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah also, He talks about how our eventual and eternal return is to Him. Inna ilayna iyabahum thumma inna alayna hisabahum. Verily to us you will return, and with me is your final decision. I will judge whether you are going to be from the inhabitants of paradise or the inhabitants of hellfire. So these are the basic themes that are in this surah, and this is what this surah basically discusses and talks about. With regards to the connection this surah has with the surahs that surround it, the scholars, they talked and they discussed the link and the connection between this surah and the surah which comes before it, which is Suratul A'la, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. So the scholars, they talked about similarities between these two surahs. And we mentioned before many times that there's a reason why the surahs are placed in the Qur'an the way they're placed. There's a wisdom behind it. It's not just the longest surah at the beginning, shortest surah at the end. But there's wisdom behind why they are together. Because in some instances, you'll get longer surahs further down and shorter surahs before the longer surahs, in some cases. So it's not always because the surah is shorter or longer than the other that they come before or that they come later. So the scholars, they talked about the wisdom behind these two surahs being placed beside one another in the mushaf that we have. And from the wisdoms they mentioned, from the reasons they mentioned these surahs come together, is the themes are similar with regards to what these two surahs talk about. So Suratul A'la, one of the things Surah A'la talks about, which comes before this surah, is it discusses and talks about the believers and it talks about the disbelievers. And it also talks about paradise and it talks about hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah A'la, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. That those people who have khushu, they are the ones who are going to remember. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. And those who are wretched, they are the ones who it will avoid. The remembrance, guidance, Islam will avoid those who are wretched, disgraced in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in both surahs, in Surah A'la, Allah talks about the believers, the righteous, and also those who commit sins, the disbelievers. And also in this surah that we're discussing, Surah Ghashiya, Allah also talks about the believers and the disbelievers. So Allah says, عَامِلَةٌ nasiba. Those who, on the Day of Judgment, when they're resurrected, they'll look like they're tired. You know, the disbelievers on the Day of Judgment, they look like as if they're worn out, they're tired. تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةً. They'll be thrown into a burning, scorching fire. So just like in Surah A'la, Allah talks about the disbelievers, in this surah as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the believers and the disbelievers. Also, Allah describes hellfire and paradise in Surah A'la as well as in this surah. So Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah A'la, الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى, that those people who will be burning in the great fire, الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى, they'll be thrown in and they'll be burning and scorching and roasting in the great fire of hell. And this is in Surah A'la. And in Ghashiyah, there's similar ayat which mention similar words. So in Surah A'la, Allah says, الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. In Surah Ghashiyah, Allah says, تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةً. The same word is used, tasla. Tasla is the present tense. Yasla is also the present tense in Surah A'la. And it refers to the same thing, something which is scorching, something which is burning, something which is roasting. Tasla naran hamia. They'll be thrown into a burning, you know, scorching fire. So, you know, just as both surahs talk about believers and disbelievers, both surahs also talk about paradise and they talk about hellfire. And another interesting thing with regards to the link between these two surahs is how in Surah A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this surah, the surah before Surah Ghashiyah. He concludes and he says, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, that the hereafter is better and everlasting. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, it's better for the believers, for those who believe in Allah, for those who worship Allah, for those who do good deeds. The hereafter is khayr, better than the dunya, and abqa, it's everlasting. It's going to be forever. It's never going to finish. And what's interesting is in the following surah, because in the previous surah, Allah talks about how the hereafter is better, Allah mentions in Surah Ghashiyah more descriptions of paradise than he does of hellfire. So when he talks about paradise in Surah Ghashiyah, there's more descriptions of paradise than there is of hellfire, because in Surah A'la Allah said, "Wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa," the hereafter is better. There's more. Khayr can mean good, and it can also mean better than something else. So because it's better in Surah Ghashiyah, Allah mentions more descriptions of paradise as opposed to hellfire. So in Surah Ghashiyah, for example, Allah says, talking about the description of hellfire, he says, وَجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ, that there will be faces which will be shamed, and they will be labored and exhausted, they will be tired. Roasting in scorching fire, تَسْلَى نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ تُسْقَى مِنْ عَيْنٍ آنِيَةٌ, given to drink from a flaming spring. لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ, that they won't have any food except thorns. لَا يُسْمِنُ وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُعٍ, that neither nourishes nor will satisfy their hunger. So six ayat altogether which talk about hellfire. And then when you look at the description of paradise in Surah Ghashiyah, there's actually more. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the next ayah, وَجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاعِمَةٌ, that faces on that day will be joyful. لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَةٌ, they'll be satisfied with their endeavor and their experience in paradise. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَلَىٰ, in lofty gardens, لَا تَسْمَعُ فِيهَا لَغِيٍّ, you won't hear no evil talk in paradise. فِيهَا عَيْنٌ جَارِيَةٌ, they'll have flowing springs. فِيهَا سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَةٌ وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَةٌ, cups set in place. وَنَمَارِقُ مَصْفُوفَةٌ, cushions set in rows. وَزَرَابِيُّ مَبْثُوثَةٌ, and cushions spread around. So it's nine ayat compared to how many in with regards to hellfire? Six. So there's more descriptions of paradise as opposed to hellfire, because in the previous surah Allah says, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, the hereafter is better and is everlasting. So Allah, it makes sense and it's more befitting that Allah talks more about paradise in the following surah, in the surah Ghashiyah, describing the details of paradise and how the furnishing will be, how cups will be set in place, and so on and so forth. And when we get to that, we'll talk about the description of paradise, inshallah. So we see these, you know, these details with regards to the link between these two surahs of the Quran, Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Ghashiyah. Another thing which we talk about whenever we discuss and start a new surah is virtues of the surahs, if there's any virtues connected to the surahs which we start. And with regards to the virtues of this surah, it's narrated by Imam Muslim rahimahullah that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to recite this surah, Surah Al-Ghashiyah, along with Surah Al-A'la on Jum'ah and also the two Eids. So he would recite this surah as well as Surah Al-A'la, so Surah Ghashiyah and Surah A'la, both of these surahs he would recite on the day of Jum'ah, the Jum'ah prayer, and also the two Eid prayers. So you could say this is from the virtues of this surah that the Prophet ﷺ would specifically recite these two surahs. Other narrations also mention that he would recite Suratul Jum'ah and also Surah Munafiqun. So he would recite these surahs for the day of Jum'ah specifically. Now the question may come about, and we may ask, what's the link, what's the virtue, what's the benefit, what's the hikmah, what's the wisdom between reciting these two surahs for these occasions? For Jum'ah, we can understand, because it talks about the day of Jum'ah and so on and so forth, that we recite Surah Jum'ah for the Jum'ah prayer. But what about these two surahs, Surah A'la and this surah, Surah Ghashiyah? Why? What's the purpose, what's the reason, what's the hikmah behind reciting these two surahs for the Jum'ah prayer, also for the two Eids? The scholars, they talked and they mentioned some wisdom and some hikmah behind reciting these two surahs specifically with regards to the day of Jum'ah and also the two Eids. And they talked about the content of these surahs and how they're linked and how it's appropriate for the occasion. And they said from the things which these two surahs mention is, first of all, reminding us of the remembrance of Allah. Telling us about the remembrance of Allah, how we should be remembering Allah and always have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our mind, praising Allah, glorifying Allah, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, in Surah A'la, He says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ ذِكْرًا سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ ذِكْرًا. He said, so remind, for verily the reminder benefits. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The one who has khashya, the one who is God-fearing, the one who has taqwa, the one who has piety, he is the one who is going to remember. He is the one who will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. And the wretched one is the one who this will avoid. Remembrance will avoid the one who is wretched in the sight of Allah. So Surah A'la talks about the individual remembering Allah, about the remembrance of Allah. And in Surah Ghashiyah, similar things are also mentioned with regards to remembrance of Allah. Allah says, who can tell me? فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Remind, verily you are only a reminder. That's your job. Your role is to remind the people of the worship of Allah, of Tawheed, of the oneness of Allah, of paradise and hellfire, of the day of judgment. That's your job. You are just someone who reminds. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْتِرْ. You're not responsible for them. So this shows us how both of these surahs talk about reminding individuals. And we know the purpose of the Jum'ah prayer. The purpose and the idea should be, when you have large gatherings of people, is to remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind them of paradise and hellfire. Remind them of the day of judgment. So both of these surahs, they talk about remembrance of Allah. So Allah orders us to remember Allah in both of these surahs. And also how only those who have khushu', those who have khashya, those who have fear of Allah, those who have piety, only those individuals are going to benefit from those reminders. Another reason or another benefit, another wisdom with regards to why these surahs are recited at these occasions, and this is what Shaykh Jibreel Rahimahullah mentions, he says that these two surahs talk about the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before the Jum'ah prayer, the Imam gives a khutbah. And the khutbah in and of itself is a reminder. So Allah, the Imam reminds the people in the khutbah of the worship of Allah. And then in the surahs he recites on the day of Jum'ah, which is recommended for a person to recite. He doesn't have to recite them, but this is what's recommended. So when he recites these surahs, he's reinforcing what he was saying in his khutbah. So he's again reminding the people of the remembrance of Allah. Now what about the Eid prayer? Because the Eid prayer takes place initially. And then after the Eid prayer, you have the khutbah which takes place after the Eid prayer. We just prayed the Eid prayer a week or so ago. So we have the Eid prayer first, and then we have anyone who wishes to stay for the khutbah, they can stay. So what about with regards to the Eid prayer? It's the other way around. So what's the wisdom behind reciting these two surahs? The scholars, they say that in the Eid prayer, we also do remembrance before the Eid prayer, which is Takbiratul Eid. So we say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. So a person is making this remembrance, he's reminding himself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the Eid prayer itself. So again, he's doing some form of remembrance before the Eid prayer takes place. When the Eid prayer takes place, he says, يَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. فَذَكَّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Remind the people, you are only a reminder. So again, it's reinforcing the actions of the individual before the Eid prayer actually takes place. Also, another benefit as well of why these surahs are recited on these occasions is because both of these surahs, they talk about the people of righteousness and the people of evil and the people of hellfire. And it also discusses paradise and hellfire. And Surah Ghashiyah also talks about the signs of Allah, as we mentioned. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. How the camel is created, how the skies were raised, and so on and so forth. So it's appropriate in these occasions when you have so many people attending that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the signs of Allah. Because indeed from one of the signs of Allah is the fact that so many Muslims gather in one place. That's a sign from the signs of Allah. If it wasn't for the sake of Allah, we wouldn't be in a place, we wouldn't have the blessing and the ability to be able to gather in so many numbers for the Eid prayer in and of itself. So this is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a reminder for us when we're in a large gathering, that's only by the permission of Allah that we're in a situation like this. Also, the fact that we are in a huge number and there's so many people attending the Eid prayer or the Jum'ah prayer, also there's symbolism here with regards to the Day of Judgment. So on the Day of Judgment, people will be raised up. And, you know, a person will be raised up and, you know, he'll be close to the person next to him. There won't be any space to move. And, you know, on that day, he'll be held to account for his actions. So just as an individual is amongst a large group of people on the Day of Eid or even on the Day of Jum'ah, likewise, an individual will be in a large group amongst a large group of people on the Day of Judgment itself. Also, another link between these surahs and the Day of Jum'ah is the fact that the Day of Judgment itself will be on a Jum'ah, will be on a Friday. And both of these surahs, they talk about descriptions of the Day of Judgment. They talk about what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment itself. Another interesting thing which the scholars mention about the link between these surahs, specifically Surah A'la, is they say in Surah A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about giving charity. Allah talks about giving charity and giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In which ayah does Allah talk about giving charity in Surah A'la? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. He is successful, he is fortunate, he is victorious, the one who gives charity. And according to some tafsir, according to some explanations of this ayah, they say that this form of charity is specifically referring to Zakatul Fitr, which is given before the Eid prayer itself, at the latest before the Eid prayer, preferably before the day before. So again, there's this link between Surah A'la, which is one of the surahs which is recited on the Day of Eid and also the Day of Jum'ah, and the link between that surah and the prayers and those occasions, and also the link between this surah, as we mentioned, and Surah Ghashiyah. So that's with regards to the link and the connection between this surah and the surah which come before and after, and also the virtue of this surah being recited on the Day of Jum'ah and also on the day of Eid, whether it's Eid al-Fitr or Eid al-Adha. Another thing which I think it's appropriate to mention and appropriate to talk about is the fact that how these surahs are recited during the Eid prayer. And subhanAllah, what's interesting is on the Day of Eid itself, it's very appropriate that we remind ourselves of how just because Ramadan has now passed, we don't have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore, which is something which obviously is incorrect. So simply the fact that reciting these surahs, which emphasize the importance of remembering Allah, it's reminding us just because it's a day of Eid, just because it's a day of celebration, just because the month of Ramadan has gone by now, it doesn't mean now that a person goes back to how he was if he wasn't worshipping Allah as much, if he wasn't doing lots of remembrance of Allah before Ramadan, that he goes back to that state now that Ramadan is over. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The one who has khushu, the one who is afraid of Allah, the one who has taqwa, he is the one who is going to remember. He is the one who is going to benefit from this reminder. فَذَكَّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Remind them because you are only someone who reminds. That's all you can do. So it's like a reminder for us. And subhanAllah, you know, we see
the situation of people after the month of Ramadan finishes. We see the masajid, they're not as busy. We see individuals, they may go back to how they were before the month of Ramadan started. You know, they go back to their normal routine. They go back to what they used to do, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And, you know, a person, when he hears these surahs, it's supposed to remind him that the remembrance of Allah doesn't stop now that the month of Ramadan has gone by. A person should still continue worshipping Allah. And, you know, they say one of the signs of how a person can tell if his Ramadan was accepted by Allah, if his good deeds were accepted by Allah in Ramadan, it's how much he's changed after the month of Ramadan. Whether he's a different person, whether he's a better person, whether he's a changed person, whether he's improved himself with regards to his acts of worship and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he's improved himself, if he's changed, if he's doing more deeds, more acts of worship, more, you know, recitation of the Quran, maybe he's doing superiority fasts, maybe he's, you know, reciting more Quran, praying more salawat, for example, or giving more charity. If he's doing more good deeds after the month of Ramadan, this shows that his Ramadan was successful. It shows that Allah accepted his deeds in the month of Ramadan. So these surahs, it's like a reminder to us that the month of Ramadan, just because it's gone by, a person still needs to continue with good deeds. And that's the whole point of the month of Ramadan. It's supposed to reinforce the khushu and the piety and the taqwa that we have. It's supposed to make it stronger. It's supposed to increase our iman. And so when our iman increases, we tend to worship Allah more. That's the sign of one's iman increasing. Iman increases as a result of us worshipping Allah. You know, us worshipping Allah reinforces and strengthens our iman. So, you know, and increases our iman. So this is one of the benefits of the month of Ramadan. It's supposed to improve our state after the month of Ramadan has passed us by. And it's like a launch pad for the next Ramadan, which is going to come the following year. So it's supposed to, you know, give us a boost. It's supposed to give us an iman boost. It's supposed to make us do more acts of worship until the next month of Ramadan comes. So if the month of Ramadan finishes and we're not doing that much with regards to good deeds, it's not going to take us up until the next Ramadan now. We're going to fall short. And again, that vicious circle, you know, restarts again and again every single year. You know, we're in the same situation year after year. So there needs to be an element of improvement. When a person is doing lots and lots of good deeds after the month of Ramadan, he's doing much more than he did before that Ramadan started. Before the month of Ramadan started, compared to what he's doing after the month of Ramadan, there's lots more he's doing after the month of Ramadan. This is a good sign. And also, the more he does, the more chance he has of being more prepared for the following Ramadan. And we mentioned many times before, other people have mentioned it, the fact that the scholars, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would ask Allah azza wa jal, that Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted their deeds from that Ramadan for the next 6 months. And then the 6 months before the next Ramadan, they would make dua and ask Allah that they were given enough life for them to witness the next Ramadan now. So it was a state of mind that they were in. The scholars, you know, they would think about their situation, they would think about their state, what have they done? Have they done enough for the month of Ramadan? And of course, it's when a person is in a state of mind where he does as much as he can, after the month of Ramadan finishes, he's making lots and lots of dua, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his deeds. This is also a good sign because he doesn't become comfortable with what he's done in the month of Ramadan. You know, it's a dangerous thing when a person finishes the month of Ramadan and thinks he's done enough. He thinks he's done enough and it's enough for him to basically do whatever he wants to do after the month of Ramadan has now finished. Because it may be the case that because of this mentality, that those deeds he did and also the things he does after Ramadan, they won't be accepted and he won't do as much as he could. Because of him thinking that his deeds are going to be accepted by Allah. You know, when a person thinks that his deeds aren't going to be accepted by Allah, and he's constantly making dua, asking Allah for him to accept his deeds that he did, this situation, the state of mind that this individual is in, naturally he's going to do more good deeds. He's going to try even harder. He's not going to stop doing good deeds because he already thinks that his actions and his deeds aren't good enough. So this state of mind that a person has, it's important for him to maintain it, to train himself to be in that state of mind. And we all know, you know, the importance of being balanced between hope and fear. A person is hopeful for the reward of Allah. He's hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward for his deeds and his actions that he does for the sake of Allah. But at the same time, he's afraid of falling short with regards to his actions and with regards to his deeds, and not doing enough, and afraid that he's not going to be able to achieve the pleasure of Allah. So there's always a balance between the two. You know, and we tend to have this same mentality of always trying hard when it comes to work, for example. A person thinks he's going to get a promotion, but he doesn't stop doing what he's doing. You know, he hears news about him maybe getting a promotion, so he thinks, I'll take it easy now. I've got my promotion, it's sorted, it's a done deal. He knows that it's something which he's not sure of, so I'll just try hard, I'll keep trying hard, and I'll try maybe even harder just to make sure that I'll get my promotion for sure. And this is the case with a person with regards to work. You know, this is how he thinks. This is his mentality. You know, a person, for example, he thinks he's going to get a certain amount of money, a certain salary, or an increase in his wage if he works hard. And he hears that maybe he's going to get an increase in his wage. But he still tries hard. Maybe he tries even harder just to make sure that he gets that increase in his wages. So likewise, with regards to actions and with regards to deeds, a person needs to behave in the same way. You know, we need to have the same mentality, if not even more. And subhanAllah, this is so important because the Day of Judgment is something which is unseen, something which we don't know. We don't know when it's going to take place. We don't know our final resting place, where we're going to be, how we're going to be dealt with, what deeds are going to be accepted, what deeds aren't going to be accepted by Allah. You know, what mistakes we made, how we fell short. You know, what deeds, maybe there was some element of, it was tainted by some sin that we committed. Maybe we weren't sincere. We were showing off with regards to certain acts of worship. And so all of these things can come into play with regards to our actions on the Day of Judgment. And this is why, subhanAllah, the very first ayah, the name of this surah, Al-Ghashiyah. Ghashiyah itself means something which is hidden, something which is covered. And this is one of the names of the Day of Judgment itself. And one of the reasons is because a person doesn't know his end result. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He doesn't know where he's going to end up. He doesn't know when it's going to take place. And he also doesn't know what's going to happen to him on that day. You know, Allah says in Surah Baqarah, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَىٰ سَمْهِمْ وَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةً, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover their hearts and their hearing and their listening. غِشَاوَةً, the same word is used. غِشَاوَةً, something which is covered, a covering. So likewise, just like in this surah, the title of this surah, and in that ayah in Surah Baqarah, this covering signifies the fact that we don't know what's going to happen on that day. We don't know our end result, how we're going to be dealt with, how we're going to be judged on that day. So we need to remember, on top of the fact that, you know, we need to try hard and continue our good deeds after this blessed month of Ramadan, we also need to remember the famous hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, which we only realize its impact and its how true it is after the month of Ramadan finishes, when he said that the devils are chained up in the month of Ramadan. The devils are chained up in the month of Ramadan. Because once the month of Ramadan finishes, immediately the day after, we see all kinds of things happening. People who used to come to the masjid, they don't come to the masjid. People who, they celebrate an Islamic celebration in haram ways. You know, they'll be drinking, or they'll be taking drugs, or they'll be dancing and singing, committing zina, and so on and so forth. And so this is with regards to an Islamic celebration. And so this hadith of how the devils and the shayateen are locked up in Ramadan, obviously after Ramadan finishes, they're all released. And so we see we see how this affects and how this impacts and influences people after the month of Ramadan has finished. So it's important for us to remember and realize the significance and the importance of, you know, maintaining and being consistent with regards to our deeds after this blessed month has finished. Because it's very easy to fall into the same routine we had before the month of Ramadan started. And I mentioned this before as well, how an individual should focus on those things which come easy to him. Those good deeds which he's able to do easily, and the things which he can do on a consistent basis, things which he can do regularly, things which, you know, he's able to do and that they're easy for him to do, he should focus on those things. He should excel in those things. Just like a person, you know, he's been gifted with regards to doing specific types of work. You know, Allah's gifted him with regards to supporting his family in specific ways. He's given certain skills, a specific set of skills. Likewise, he can utilize himself by recognizing those deeds which he can do, which will be easy for him, and you know, the skills which he can implement for the sake of Allah, and you know, gain reward from Allah through those specific things. So this is what I wanted to mention with regards to how an individual should be now that the month of Ramadan has finished, our mentality, our behavior, the way we should react. Because sometimes what happens is after the month of Ramadan finishes, it's just like we go back to how we were. I advise myself before I advise anybody else. This affects, you know, all of us in one way or another. At one point or another, there's things which, you know, they don't go the way we want them to go, the way we expect them to go. You know, we have certain plans, and those plans don't come to fruition after the month of Ramadan. So it's always important to be consistent, to be, you know, steadfast, and to always improve. And if a person falls short, if a person trips over, if a person falls, then you should get up and continue. Because at the end of the day, so long as Allah has given us life, we are still able to do deeds. We're still able to worship Allah. We still have a chance to, you know, change our situation, change our circumstances. It may be that we do one deed. It may be that we do one deed. Because of that deed, Allah takes us from hellfire and admits us into paradise. So we don't know specifically what deed it may be, what action it may be that will cause us to enter into paradise and Allah will take us out of hellfire from. We don't know what action it will be. We don't know what specific deed it will be. Sometimes a person does a deed without thinking. And because of that deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes you to, you know, exit hellfire and enter into paradise. And we don't even think much of it. So it's important for us to do as much as we can, to do as many deeds as we can, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show His mercy upon us and He'll admit us into His everlasting gardens. Inshallah, what we'll do is, there's no point in starting the first ayah today. So inshallah, next week, we'll continue with the tafsir. We'll start with the first ayah and we'll talk about and discuss the tafsir of Suratul Ghashiyah properly next week, inshallah.